Chapter 4. Reach gripped his rifle and jogged toward the perimeter 2nd Platoon had set up around the comms building. Sergeant Nash took a knee at his side, scanning the surrounding ruins for threats before moving into the array itself. With the shooting over, this was the first opportunity Reach had to really take in Amir. The soil around him was soft and as black as any he'd ever seen, but with no weeds or ground cover inside the camp. Perhaps the machines who'd arrived in advance of the colony ship had applied some kind of vegetation killer. The soil looked too rich to be so free of plant life, and outside the camp, the planet was teeming with trees, their leaves coal black and their trunks and branches thick and white. Amir's smell was unique, at once fresh and somehow sickly sweet. It reminded him of something, but he couldn't pin it down so soon after the fighting. Not with the cordite and blood and other stenches of battle still lingering in the air. "What are we looking at?" Reach asked Nash, as though the two of them had worked together for years. Nash didn't so much as blink. He pinged Sergeant Stanga, who was leading a team inside the comms array, to report.
"Place is empty," Stanga said. "First already cleared it. But it looks as though the commies didn't spend much time in here anyway. Hopefully Rupak didn't set up a booby trap. Stewart and Marks are still poking around just in case."
Nash grunted in agreement.
"Them commies gotta know that it'd be one of our first targets."
He spat into the dirt.
"That's where I'd set up an IED if I was them."
"Roger that," Reach replied. "Let me know when Turner can have a look."
"Roger. Boys inside say now is good. It's a nothing burger."
"Ramirez knows plenty about technology," Nash offered. "Had an uncle who made his recruiter make sure he wouldn't be denied a shot at RASP. He might be a good set of eyes until the Space Force techs get down here."
"Good," said Reach, nodding. "Bring him in."
"Ramirez," Nash shouted, a coy smile on his face. "Hike up your dress and get over here."
"It's a kilt, Staff Sergeant," Corporal Ramirez replied. "And CENTCOM said I couldn't bring it. On my way."
"You're Mexican, Ramirez, not Scottish. That makes it a dress. Now hurry up."
Reach moved for the entrance, which was being guarded by two from Stanga's team. "Let's go see what the damage is." One of the men nodded at the approaching First Sergeant, then over to the forest.
"You see these trees, First Sergeant? Wild, man."
"Of course I see them. They're 30 feet away, you blind bastard."
At the darkened doorway of the array, Reach raised both eyebrows and stepped inside, Nash on his heels. The sergeant let out a low whistle. It looked like all the equipment was still there, but it was in bad shape. Some of it was covered in a thick layer of moss-like plants. Other parts looked like someone had taken a hatchet or sword to them, and still more looked to have been painted in a wide variety of colors.
"What do you make of this?"
Nash asked.
"I was about to ask you the same thing."
Reach ran his hand over some of the moss. It recoiled at his touch, like a sea anemone, causing the lieutenant to nearly do likewise.
"This doesn't make sense. Everything in here was done from the unmanned trips. It should be brand new."
"My thoughts exactly,"
Nash mumbled.
"And what's with the rainbow paints? Why would the maintenance robots do that?"
Specialist Turner and Corporal Ramirez stepped through the doorway and paused to let their eyes adjust to the dimness before walking over to their first sergeant.
"What the hell happened in here, Sergeant?" Turner asked. "How about you two take a look around, and then you tell us what to make of all this? Better yet, just get this thing online so we can report back to Earth. Make it happen."
"Roger that,"
Turner said, his rifle dangling from its wolf clip. A buzz from their implants heralded a message from the Boon.
"Attention, ground forces. The Badgers are ready for deployment as soon as you need them."
Lieutenant Sherman answered.
"Roger. Perimeter is secured. Send them."
"Reach?"
asked the captain. Reach hesitated just for a moment before old training kicked in. "Array is secure, and we're working on getting it up. Rest of 2nd will clear an LZ."
"Roger. Out."
As Turner and Ramirez surveyed the facility, Reach took the opportunity to talk to Alexa about something that had been bothering him ever since he woke up from cryo.
"Alexa, I have to say I'm still unclear on exactly what's happening here.
Explain.
My role on this mission was to smooth things out between the colonists and the army, and to serve as an aide to Mayor McCheese, who is now dead, correct?
Colonist McIntosh died in stasis, yes.
Right. So, suddenly now you and Bosa have got me leading a platoon of Rangers, and everyone just accepts this. And what's really weird is I accept this. Why do I feel like I'm supposed to be leading these men?
Because you are. And they have been primed to follow you. They expect it.
Okay, see, this is the part that needs explaining.
I would be happy to explain. Given the devastation resulting from the cryo failure, our military components needed leadership. I explained to Captain Bosa that you are capable of filling that immediate need. With his approval, I initiated a simple neurotransfer of all personnel files, combined with my own data gathered by brainwave scans, to make you familiar with the entirety of all those on the Boon. A similar neurotransfer made them familiar with you, ready to do what you ask of them. You're doing a great job, by the way.
That's weird, Reach said, looking over as Specialist Turner and Corporal Ramirez approached. I don't like it.
Trust me, Reach. This is what will help us complete our mission. Alexa, out.
Report, First Sergeant Nash ordered.
Not much to report, First Sergeant, Ramirez replied, his deep brown eyes showing no small concern.
We sure we're on the right planet?
No, we stopped on another colony world to get some gas on the way to Amir.
Turner laughed despite himself, then frowned.
The thing is, just look at all the dust in here, and the cables and circuitry are in bad shape too. I've never seen anything like it.
Walk me through it, Reach said. Ramirez led him to a cabinet covered with Amir's curious alien moss.
This is the array's power distribution point. It looks like we've still got a power source. Should be located in a bunker somewhere deeper in the camp. But the connection is cut somewhere along the line.
Reach stared into the mess of wires, cables, and circuit boards.
How long?
Ramirez glanced at Turner before shrugging.
We won't know until we get elbow deep in this shit, sir. We may have to yank components from less critical sections of the array or other buildings within the camp.
But you can power it up.
For a while, sir, Turner said. But this place is a disaster waiting to happen. We get a bad storm and a lightning strike.
He shrugged.
Roger that, Ramirez said. Without a proper ground and the redundancies this thing should have but doesn't, what's left of this array may be one-time use. It's all, and this is a technical term, sir, very touchy-feely right now.
Okay, array has problems. Reach looked around. Someone left the door open and it got a little dusty. Happens. But once we get the site cleared and the boom landed, we'll have what we need to keep it maintained.
Sir, Turner said, chewing his lip. It's more than someone leaving the door open. Something about this is wrong. Not just a little wrong, but really horribly wrong. It's like these wires have been baked in an oven at 300 degrees for a week, or like they've been here for a couple hundred years or something.
Nash shook his head.
Couple hundred years ago, they still thought there might be little green men on Mars. Camp setup only started a few years ago. Amir might just be a little harsher than Earth was when it comes to electronics.
Turner looked at Ramirez.
Yeah, we had a similar theory.
Let's hear it, Reach said.
Well, sir, what if there's some kind of acid in the atmosphere? Something powerful enough to corrode the insulation on the wires like this? Or what if the Rupak has some kind of chemical weapon, Ramirez added.
Shit, Nash hissed. Wouldn't put it past the bastards.
He began pacing.
We don't have any chemical analysis equipment down here. Those are part of the Badger loadout.
Reach felt fine. No irritation in his nose, throat, or respiratory system. But without a way to verify, it seemed that taking precautions was necessary. Every Ranger could augment their battle helmet with a clear wraparound face mask that would protect them in the event of a loss of hull integrity while in space. That would come in handy now. He gently held out an arm, halting the sergeant's pacing. It was probably an absent-minded habit, but
but it was also the sort of thing that could rattle the others. Then he switched to the general channel.
Hatchet 02 to Task Force Hatchet. Seal your suits. We may have found evidence of a chemical weapon in the area. I say again, keep your helmets on and sealed until further notice. Out.
He turned to Turner and Ramirez.
Get this thing powered back on.
As is, sir?
Asked Ramirez.
Like we said, without replacing a lot of this stuff, it's one stroke of bad luck away from being rendered completely unusable.
Reach nodded.
Do it.
A sudden burst of small arms fire echoed across the camp, distant but close enough to possibly present a problem. Reach froze for a tense second and then ran outside. His rangers were already weapons hot and moving to engage when the report flooded in over the comm.
Contact, called someone from 1st Platoon. South Patrol, looks like a bunch of them. 16, no, 20. How are there still so many?
Lieutenant Sherman was in Reach's ear a second later.
We're spread pretty thin over there. I could use some support from 2nd Platoon.
1st and 2nd squads,
Reach thundered over the comm, not thinking and yet knowing exactly which men he was speaking about.
Assist in the defense. Everybody else remain on alert here. Let's not get caught by a feint.
Two squads scrambled toward the south end of the camp, and the rest remained on high alert, except for Ramirez and Turner, who continued their work on the array. Reach joined the vigil, watching the tree lines and waiting for a Rupak counterattack that wasn't coming.
You should help them,
Alexa prompted in Reach's ear.
Lieutenant Sherman asked for support from 2nd Platoon. He doesn't want me running across camp like I'm Rambo.
Reach, I know this is sudden, but no one on this planet is as capable a fighter as you are. At least until I come down there. You are primed and honed for combat. We made sure of it. Go.
Reach hesitated, rocking on the balls of his feet. But something about the way Alexa said go made things fall in line. He turned to Nash.
I'm going to assist.
Then he was off and running. Building up speed until he could feel the wind against his face and heard it whipping inside his ears. He ran faster than he'd ever run before, and not by a little. He caught up with the men from 1st Platoon and passed them by. There was no burning in his legs, no laboring in his lungs. It was like a dream. Every footfall felt smooth, no jarring, no pain, and his knees had suffered from no small amount of chronic pain by the time he'd gotten out of the Marines, not to mention his back. The general channel was busy with reports on the fighting. His squads had arrived and were already engaging the enemy. The sound of rapid rifle fire filled the channel, along with grunts and heavy breathing from troops coordinating a tactical advance to assault an enemy-controlled position. The rest was a flurry of activity from the two squads calling out updates.
You seem worried, Alexa said.
I'm fine, Reach answered.
Your heart rate is higher than normal.
Because I'm doing a freaking Usain Bolt impression.
Just an observation.
Thanks.
The front came into view. Pockets of Rangers from 1st Platoon set up in firing position, their weapons talking to maintain a sustained field of fire on the enemy without chewing through more ammunition than was necessary. The return fire was abundant. Tracer rounds zipped overhead. Reach announced his presence and joined a Ranger from 1st Platoon behind the cover of a fallen log, its white bark now gray in death.
Keep your head down, shouted the Ranger.
Reach nodded.
Status? Squad of Rupak about 10 meters away.
The Ranger was quieted by a barrage of incoming weapons fire that splintered their cover.
Damn it, that's them. 11 o'clock.
Copy that. Reach looked at the Ranger's weapon. It was equipped with a grenade launcher, something his own rifle was without. He pointed to the launcher.
You got rounds for that?
Yeah.
Let me see it.
The Ranger didn't hesitate to switch weapons with him. No one was behaving how he'd thought they would, himself included. Whatever Alexa had done to them while they slept, relationships had changed. Alexa's voice came alive in Reach's implant.
Good choice on the weapon. Now let's try out some of your advancements.
Sure. Who doesn't want to be the crash test dummy?
Check the shoulder of your uniform. Do you see the black disc?
Yeah, I see it.
He had no idea what the little disc was and hadn't even realized it was there until she'd pointed it out.
Activated. You can press it if you need to, but you can also just think of it.
Reach thought about himself pressing the button. Immediately, the disc ejected from his shoulder and floated in the air. Reach and the ranger taking cover beside him stared at it. And then Reach realized he was seeing the ranger in front of him twice, with his eyes and also as an image inside his head.
Alexa? Your brain is receiving a feed from the microdrone you just launched. Send it up so you can survey the battlefield.
Is there a remote control or something?
Just think about what you want it to do. You're the director, and it's the camera. Move the camera.
Reach made the drone turn away from the ranger so it faced the log, then made it slowly rise into the air. The forest came into view, and he sent the drone higher, turning it to the 11 o'clock position and then bathing three Rupak soldiers in a steady yellow hue. Even as he made the drone look elsewhere, the position of the Rupak soldiers somehow stayed fixed in his mind. As more enemy soldiers were identified, Reach captured their positions mentally as well, and a plan of attack formed in his head. The three Rupak who had him pinned down were focusing elsewhere. Without word or warning, Reach popped up and sent a grenade into their midst. It burst at eye level and sent all three men to the ground. Reach's rifle was already turning toward a fourth soldier he'd spotted 20 meters to the right of the trio's position. The green reticle in his vision painted the man's head. Reach fired, and the man fell. He repeated the process on a fifth target, killing him before dropping back down behind cover. It all happened in no more than 2 seconds.
Holy shit, someone called out.
Holy shit is right, Reach mumbled to himself.
Excellent work, said Alexa, sounding proud. This is what we wanted to do for all the Rangers in Cryo, but red tape. Thanks for signing those releases.
Reach again traded weapons with the ranger next to him, and the man sprang back into the fight. The shouts of the battle flooded Reach's brain as he listened to the various comm streams coming over his implant. No, he realized, these weren't comm channels. The voices he heard weren't being broadcast. He was hearing everything the various implants were picking up without transmitting. Things the men were saying in the heat of the fight and to one another. Yet Reach could not only hear them, he could process them all at once.
1E, KIA. I'm hit. I'm okay. Keep going. Get some. Get some.
3, get back online. 4, kick 3's ass if he does that again.
Roger.
I got one. Someone help me hold this commie down. He's fighting me.
Reach repeated his trick of finding targets and vanquishing them in moments. And on the battle went until the general channel provided a better picture of the engagement. Reach switched to it.
Ceasefire! All squads! Ace report!
2nd platoon, 1st and 2nd squads, all good, one prisoner.
1st platoon, 4th squad, one injured. Grant, he'll be okay.
1st platoon, 3rd squad, we're ready for more.
Reach wasn't even winded. He looked down at his rifle, eyeing his magazine. He'd fired 12 rounds. He'd killed 15 Rupak.